Hey friends, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The secret is that even though I am a verified user on Twitter, on Facebook, I have several hundred thousand followers and fans across social media. But guess what? Where do I do business? I do business on my own property, my own media, which is my website. And although organic search literally generates hundreds of thousands of users to my site every year, I get more people that directly enter neilschafer.com into my website than I get from social media, from every single platform combined. Whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of that combined, I don't get as much traffic as people that directly enter neilschafer.com into the URL, which is only a fraction. If I add together the direct traffic and the social traffic, it is maybe 10% of what I get from search engines. Now, I know that social media has a role to play in all this, and an extremely valuable role, but I'll also say that if you want to bring people back to your website, social media is no longer the best place to do that. Sure, there are outliers, but stick with me, listen to my advice. And I got a great guest for you today that's going to teach you just how to create content that ranks on search on this next episode of Your Digital Marketing Coach.
Digital, social media, content influencer, marketing, blogging, podcasting, vlogging, TikToking, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, SEO, SEM, PPC, email marketing. Whew! There's a lot to cover. Whether you're a marketing professional, entrepreneur, or business owner, you need someone you can rely on for expert advice. Good thing you've got Neil on your side. Because Neil Schaefer is your digital marketing coach. Helping you grow your business with digital-first marketing, one episode at a time. This is Your Digital Marketing Coach, and this is Neil Schaefer.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 225 of the Your Digital Marketing Coach podcast, formerly known as Maximize Your Social Influence. Today is all about content, and it's not just about creating content for the sake of content, it's about creating content that will help you rank well, or in other words, how to create Google-friendly content so that your website can get the traffic that it deserves. I have an expert guest on today. His name is Neil Sheth. The only problem with Neil is that he spells his first name wrong. He spells it N-E-I-L, whereas I'm the real Neil, N-E-A-L. But Neil is all about content and storytelling and SEO. He is the founder of two different companies. One is Writefully, which provides high quality content on demand or on a subscription for small to medium sized businesses. He also has his own consultancy and agency and really advisory company called Bubbly Digital, where he leads digital marketing and content marketing strategy across a multitude of clients. You'll notice from the accent that Neil is based out of London in the United Kingdom. And what we're going to cover on this episode is going to be not just about finding the right topics that are relevant to increase the visibility of the brand, but how to choose the right format for your content. And, well, obviously, we're going to get some tips to significantly increase your content's ability to get found on Google. With no further ado, let's get to the interview with Neil Sheth.
You're listening to Your Digital Marketing Coach. This is Neil Schaefer.
Hey, Neil, welcome to the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast.
Hello, Neil. Thanks so much.
It's always an honor to interview another Neil. This might be a first. Now, whenever I go to a Starbucks, they always spell it like your name. So I have to say I'm the real Neil, you know, N-E-A-L, not N-E-I-L. But it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, what's funny is they also spell my name with the E-A-L. So we're suffering with the same issue here. First world problems, eh?
Do you ever get the N-I-E-L? Well, I've seen them all. I've had the K-N-E-E-L, like the verb.
Actually, that happened to me last week. And I just thought that was stupid because I think that's just a misspelling. I don't think anyone actually has a name with N-I-E-L unless we're going to be proven wrong on the back of this.
Hey, these days, you know, with all sorts of names. I don't even want to get started. So anyway, so today we are here to talk about creating content that ranks on search. And before we get started, Neil, what's sort of your background that led you to become an expert? I know you're launching a new company that we're going to talk about that will help our listeners be able to do that. But you know, how did you get into content and SEO and the space?
Yeah, so 2009, I noticed a Groupon business doing super well. Groupon doing super well in the US. And basically, whilst I was working in investment banking at the time for Barclays Capital, maybe, or Goldman's, I decided to copy the model and launch it in the UK. I knew nothing about websites. I knew nothing about SEO, even marketing. I just knew how to be a project manager. So I said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to hire a team in India and we're going to build this website. And that's what I went and did. I spent 20 grand. I lost it clearly after 6 months. We couldn't even force our family and friends to buy from us. And Groupon and all these other larger businesses basically just took over the market. So that was the first point that I went, I should have understood marketing before I launched this. And so I started reading up everything for the next couple of years. And SEO really struck out to me, especially in the Warrior forums. You used to probably go into those as well. And I used to just read up everything. I remember there were some awesome people in that community who would just answer questions. Now, SEO's changed from those days, right, where it's less spammy. But that's where I got started. And on the back of that, I literally launched website after website. I bought a website, actually, from Flipper and wasted $4,000 and realized I needed to understand the quality of SEO rather than just buy a site that gets thousands of traffic based on SEO every month. And then it just tanks. And that's where it all started. And then I just launched website after website over the years where I got really good. And I think after about 6 years, I had an intuition for it. And so I was still working in investment banking, tried to hire another agency to help with my own businesses, and then realized after speaking to 5 or 6 of them that I knew more than them and I didn't trust them with my own business. And I thought, you know what, let me manage my own SEO. So I hired my own team and realized I hated banking and I hated being a project manager anymore. And thought, why don't I just do this for other businesses? So in 2017, I launched an SEO agency. And so for the last 5 years, we've been running SEO campaigns for our clients. And so that's really where it all started. And we also launched our own side project, which I was highlighting to you before the interview. And so it just keeps us kind of learning all the time, which, as you know, SEO is a learning game.
And that's awesome, Neil. I mean, we talking beforehand, I thought we felt like we had some similarities there. And that's it. And I was the same way. It was very early on, I think in 2009, 2010, I went to Blog World, which was the big social media show before social media marketing world. And I saw some people on stage. I'm like, you know what? I know more than they do about the subject. Why aren't I speaking? But it comes down to the learning and the reps that you put in, right? And those experiences, sometimes money losing experiences, but it all adds up. And I want to encourage everybody else. And I'm the same way. I tinkered with, should I hire an SEO agency? But the people I talked with, they didn't really tell me what they were going to do for the money I paid them. Mm. It's like, you know, I don't know. It just didn't seem right. And therefore, I embarked on my own journey of trying to, especially with my working on my next book, which is more of a broad digital marketing book. So yeah, I've come to a lot of the same conclusions that you have. And I'll be interested to hear more about your approach to SEO and what you've learned over the years. So tell me, so based on what I just said, what does an SEO agency do for their clients? I know there's probably a lot of different things, but if you could sum it up to companies that have yet to hire one, what are the reasons why they should hire?
So an SEO agency like us, we think of it as hiring a building contractor. So, you know, you've got an electrician, a plumber, you've got an architect and different roles. And ultimately, that's what we have in the agency. So we've got SEO copywriters, a project manager, an SEO strategist, link building, a technical SEO. And so you've got all these people wearing different hats. And ultimately, when you're running an SEO campaign, you need expertise in different areas. And so that's ultimately what you're hiring. For one client, we might be running audits 1 month and working with their developer to make sure, or our own developer to make sure the site's optimized or indexation issues are resolved, or this site's just never ranked, even though they've worked with 3 other SEO agencies. Why is it still not ranking? Doing that type of analysis, which is very bespoke. Then another month or another week, we might be doing content analysis, working out what content's already ranking. How do we get it higher? What do we need to change? What do we need to improve? What do we what content needs to be removed. We might be doing content prunes where we're removing content that actually is just adding noise to the site. So every month's different. Or we might be building the authority of the site, you know, getting links to a site or creating content that is link worthy and promoting it. And that type of activity is really geared to a business that's already winning. It's you know, it's not small, because ultimately to pay for that, you're going to need a budget. So to your point, I don't think every business needs to hire an agency, especially if you don't have the budget. I would say it's wiser for you to take over some of the SEO. The value in SEO is on the content side. So if you can optimize your site technically one-off, anyone can learn the content side. You just need a bit of focus, time, training, and really get a hold of it. It's making sure, where, especially from our point of view, is making sure we're working with the right business, who's in the right situation. Because SEO requires a level of temperament. You know, it's not something that gets a result next week. You've got to be on that treadmill. It's like going to the gym, right? You're not going to get a six pack on day one or day 30 or 60. You might do, but you're really going in there for the long term. So making sure you've got that budget for the longer term is very important.
And I think everything you just mentioned there are the things you need to be successful at SEO. So I assume then these are all sort of customized plans for each of your customers based on where they're at, based on the results you get.
Correct. So we would have an initial look at a site, and then we would draw up. We would say, hey, this is my, and a lot of this is, sometimes it is gut feeling. I've seen so many different situations. I'm going, no, we need to focus on the authority first rather than the content. Or we now need to optimize the site, put that to our side so we've cleared the junk, and then we can get going with the content. We need to produce more content. So every site has a different situation. And on the back of the analysis, what we'll do is we'll draw up a 12-month plan to say, hey, here's what to expect in the 12 months. However, as you plan this out further and further out, it becomes less predictable. So we do say at month 10, it's very likely month 10 is not going to actually happen, because by month 5 and 6, we would have realized what's going on and where the value is. And then we're going to slightly tweak the plan as we go into it.
And then I'm assuming then the final ROI from the client perspective is that they, for these strategic keywords, they will see their rankings increase in search engines. Is that sort of the final way that they look at their, although there's no guarantees in life, but would that be a good summary?
I mean, that's an okay summary. And this is like the big debate that I try and educate our clients on is, yes, you know, the easy way to look at it is keywords, right? And it's to go, yeah, my keywords go up and my traffic goes up and my sales go up. But, you know, recently on my YouTube channel, I created this video called The SEO Compass. And I talk about SEO being the best way or the compass to building a brand organically online. And I fully 100% believe that. Because if you think about it, Neil, how do you implement SEO? You do keyword research. What's keyword research? It's understanding what your audience is searching for, right? What do you do after that? You optimize your content. You create content your audience wants and searches for. Okay, that sounds like something you should be doing anyway, right?
Right.
The third thing, technical SEO optimization. What's that? That's simply getting Google and your users to navigate your site as fast and as quickly as possible to get to the information they need, right? Okay, that just sounds like you should be doing that anyway. And then the fourth area is link building, which is another way of talking about getting sites to talk about you, mentioning you. Sounds very similar to PR, writing for other sites, getting them to talk about you because you've written that piece of content, right? Getting sites to mention your resource because it's so epic, right? Or getting a resource shareable. Like, we've just taken this word link building, but as I describe it, these are things you should be doing anyway. So my whole argument is everyone should be running this type of campaign. You can name it SEO or you cannot name it SEO, but if you're looking to build a business long-term, you should just be running this type of campaign anyway, because it's good for your business. It makes you likable. It makes you trustworthy. It gets, you know, I often on sales calls, forget SEO, forget if my content ranks on Google. You know, I've got a blog post around international SEO, a beginner's guide to international SEO. And the reason I did that is not just to rank. I would love for it to rank. But honestly, we're getting this question over and over again through sales calls. And so now what I do, whenever there's a conversation coming up on international SEO, I'll send that to prospects in advance. So not only am I using SEO as a bonus, I'm actually using it short term. So what you'll find is when you run that type of campaign, there's short term benefits. The SEO is always the, I see it as the bonus, whether it ranks or not, is there should be enough benefit before it even ranks. You know, if you're getting the same calls, if your sales team are getting the same calls over and over again, why not create a really epic piece that answers that question, happens to be sprinkled with SEO, right? So that the Google gods rank it sometime in the future. But most importantly, in the short term, your salespeople can share that content with your prospects. Like now you've just given, now I've just justified an ROI. So that's how I treat my own SEO or my own side projects. And it is hard to get that sometimes across to clients. But once you get it, once you see it and you see the benefits of it, it's epic.
Yeah, no, that was really well, very, very eloquently put. I almost think, and I've seen on my own site, my rankings go up, but the traffic doesn't necessarily go up because maybe at that time, people just weren't searching for that keyword, even though you're ranking higher. So there's so many factors that go into this that there are no promises. But I look at it as, well, how do I do compared to my competitors? If I'm outbeating my competitors, I'm sort of reaping the benefits that search engines are going to give me in the good times and in the bad times. You come from an investment background. It's like the stock market, right? In the good times, you want to reap the benefits. In the bad times, you want to try to prevent those losses, but you take what you get, right? And I think that analogy for me has always worked with search engines as well. So some really, really great advice there. So let's keep moving down. So you talked about SEO being about, you know, beginning with keyword research and in the traditional way that we look at SEO. For those listeners, you know, how do they find those, you mentioned, you know, raise your brand's visibility organically. How do they find the right topics that are relevant to increase the visibility of their brand in search engines? Maybe you already hinted at that by talking about those questions that you often get asked and just answered them. But is there anything more they should be thinking of?
I mean, honestly, you can be as creative as you want. With the new brand that we're launching, I've actually got our content manager doing keyword research, and she's going into multiple rabbit holes. So it just depends. And I'll give you a really good example here. But you can just take every single angle and then just apply it. So as an example, the new brand we're launching, for context, is a copywriting service. And so one of the keywords that we thought, hey, this will be cool, is why don't we go for a keyword that where people are searching for cheap copywriting services, where we talk about where to find cheap copywriting services, and then we introduce Writefully, which is not a cheap copywriting service. Smart. But we talk about the benefit and the value and the time that you're going to save, and most importantly, how your brand's just going to look epic on the back of it. So that's one angle we go. So you could almost do the opposite of people, of what people are searching for. So that's one thing. Another thing you can do is you can look at your competitors. Your competitors have invested time and money into their SEO. They've done all the research for you. So what you could do is you can get to all like SEMrush, Ahrefs, or any other tool, and you can analyze the content that is ranking and they're doing really well for, and then look at the CPC. So look at the cost per click, because when you look at that, you can see what keywords are valuable, i.e. what competitors are willing to bid for. If they're willing to bid for it, it's bringing in money, it's bringing in revenue. So have a look at that content. Can you do better than that? Can you improve upon it? And that's what I'm looking for. Now, you do need to take into account domain authority. So if your site's starting from scratch and you're trying to compete with a site that's got a domain authority of 60 plus, you're going to find it really hard to rank. But if you can find a site that's got a domain authority of 20, 10, 30, you know, actually, you could probably compete with that. Now, it's not to say don't like to turn you off from competing with sites with larger domain authority, because actually you might find an opportunity where you're just going, actually, the content ranking on page one is just really not good, and you can create something better. So that's another approach. You can find keywords from competitors. You could just do end on a third tip is just think about what your audience is searching for, where they are in their journey. So for instance, in our world, yes, we want to be able to get in front of someone who needs copywriting. But ultimately, if you're looking to build a brand online, at some time in the journey, you're probably going to need copywriting. So we could look at that entire journey of someone's looking to build a brand online. What are they thinking about? Maybe they're thinking about Instagram carousels. How does that work? Or maybe they're thinking about launching a YouTube channel. How could I do that? And then we could subtly introduce our YouTube descriptions, right? That we could do for clients. Maybe they're thinking of Instagram guides, depending on when you publish this podcast, which is fairly new. And how do they publish guides on Instagram? So we don't necessarily need to go for our audience right there and then. What we could do is think about where they are in their journey and then start to like educate them on separate stages of where they're at in the building their business, because at some point they're going to need our help.
No, that's great advice. I've always thought when I do my own keyword research, I look at those keywords and it's like, well, what makes sense, right? I'm not going to write about all these things or when I'm with a client, but what is relevant to your business and most importantly to your customers or prospective customers? And the other way I look at it, just adding on to what you're saying is, you know, if you want to rank for those keywords that are critical to your business, you need to be seen as an authority in Google's eyes. And a way that you're seen as an authority is that you have a lot of content on that subject. So that, to me, that's always the core. What, you know, regardless of your competitors, if you are in this industry or business of blog writing service, you need to have content that talks about blog writing service. It's a no-brainer, and all the other things that are related to that. So sometimes we overcomplicate it, right? But I love the creative and fresh perspective on, hey, you know, is there an angle that you can have on that keyword to be able to rank for? That's really great. And by the way, for those of you who are on the recent SEM Rush webinar I did, and RFs as well, they do provide some interesting metrics that say, hey, these keywords, it'll be a little bit easier for you to compete for because of the domain authorities of the competition that rank in search engines. So it doesn't have to be complicated. So we found sort of those right topics that are you know, relevant. Next, let's go on to the format. So you were talking about, Neil, there's different formats that can help you maximize eyeballs. Can you go in a little bit, you know, further description as to what that means in terms of content formats?
Whenever you're trying to create content online, what's important is to align your content to your user's expectation. So if your user is searching for the best hotels for an anniversary in Bali, if you think about it, if you put yourself in your user's shoe, they're looking for a list. They're looking for a list of recommendations. So if you create a how-to guide on, if you create a how-to guide on two of the best hotels in Bali, that's probably not enough to serve that search and, you know, the search intent. So big clue to work out what the right framework is search for the keyword and look at page one. That's your biggest clue to what users, and most importantly, Google's looking for. So you could do, like, you know, there's listicles, there's how-to guides, there's resource guides, there's Q&A type content, there's interviews. And so there, you know, we've, in fact, actually just before this interview, I was just updating our content frameworks. Don't have it in front of me, but you know, there's 16 or 17 odd frameworks that we use across our clients. And it just depends. Not some of it's actually not necessarily driven for SEO, i.e. to rank, but it's something they need, i.e. they want to appear as the go-to person in the industry. So what would we do? We would maybe do a go-to guide, or we would do a piece of content which we call Be the Source. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're thinking about your brand, you think about your user's journey. And whether that's to rank or not, it's, you know, it's something you were talking about, Neil, is making yourself the person that people, you know like and trust. And how do you do that? You do that with content, and you want to make sure that your content is able to meet all three of them, or at least one of them, as well as, you know, killing two birds with one stone, trying to optimize it for Google as well. So make sure that you're kind of thinking about your content in the sense of those three things, know, like, and trust, but at the same time, making sure that it's in a framework that users and Google expects, which you can clearly see from page one when you're searching for a particular keyword.
Yeah, amen to that. There's so much that can be learned. I think people forget that when you look at that first page of results, that is the result of Google's algorithms and all the fine tuning they've done, and the readers that have actually gone to those blog posts, how much time did they, there's so much science and data that goes into choosing what is there, right? That there's so much takeaway. So that's an awesome reminder. So let's get to sort of the, you know, before we end our conversation, sort of the main part of the conversation of, okay, we've done all this, but we want to increase our content's ability to get found on Google. What are some tips you can offer us? We're doing all the right things, but we're just not getting high enough in the rankings. What would be some tips you can offer our listeners today?
Sure. So the starting point is always the content. That should always be someone's starting point. And that's not necessarily where you end. But if you're expecting to rank for a keyword, then your content's got to be worthy of ranking. So analyze the content. Are you ranking today? Are you being indexed? One tip is, if you're not being, you know, if you're not ranking, take that URL for that piece of content and put it into Google with site colon in front of it. And then Google will tell you whether that URL is being indexed. If it is being indexed, all good. Now analyze your content. If it's not being indexed, you've got a technical issue. And that, to be honest, is just not in your interest to solve. Get in touch with a developer, an agency, you know, generally an SEO technical specialist would be able to help with that. I mean, we can talk about that, but just in terms of saving time here, assuming your content's being indexed, you need to look at your content with a fresh pair of eyes, or maybe get your family member to look at it and tell you, is this worthy enough to rank on page one? And be unbiased. I know it's going to be hard to do and easy to say, but be unbiased. What could you do to improve it? Does it hit the trust marks? Does it, you know, there's a concept of EAT, expertise, authority, trustworthiness. Does your content carry those three with it? And there's an entire Google guide, a Google raters guide that talks about this, which you could go down a rabbit hole. But just look at maybe the first five links on Google that are ranking and then compare it and do a gap analysis. Put together a doc of what those pieces have that you don't have, what you have that they don't have, and where there's opportunities for you to differentiate. Now, if you've done all that and you've then implemented that and your content's still not ranking, it's at this point you need to start going beyond the content. And you might need to start to look at the authority of your site. Are you just competing for a keyword that's just really, really difficult, where you've got all of these pages that are ranking that have tons of links, tons of people talking about them? Are you struggling with authority? If so, maybe you could do some internal links to help you give some boost, get some internal blog posts to point towards that blog post to give them internal boost. That's in your control. That's easy to do. The harder bit is actually getting some external links, other sites to get, you know, come to it. Is it good enough for you to promote? Can you go out to a number of sites that are linking to page one results and get them to link to you? Are you adding anything different? If not, could you add a design? Could you add a graphic? Could you add some infographics? This is all part of the analysis. And at the end of this, you might get to the point where you go, you know what? This is just super hard to do right now. I'm going to go for low hanging fruit, right? And because honestly, there's no point in like hitting your head against a wall for something that's just going to be really difficult to rank. But what you can do is you can get quicker results for a smaller keyword, for a less competitive keyword, and then start to build up the authority of your site and then go back and circle back around to that piece of content. So these are just some of the thoughts that I have. Obviously, it requires a lot more detailed analysis, but you know, I want to make sure that the listeners here realize that, look, there's tons of things you can do in your control, and you should be doing all of that. But in no way expect to rank on page one for everything, you know, because it's not going to be a good use of your time or a good use of your mindset and your energy. So it's making sure at the keyword research stage that you're picking the right keywords, because there's no point hitting your head against a wall later on down the line if you've picked the wrong keyword. So, however, that's not to say I don't create. I'm going to caveat this and I'm going to slightly contradict what I said here. I don't necessarily stop and create content only for keywords that I believe I can rank. Honestly, if I'm going to have a lot of fun with it, and I know on my sales calls and my prospects would really value it, and I know I genuinely can create something epic, I will create the piece of content because I don't care if it ranks or not. And if you can do that and you can justify it that way, go ahead and create it. Because sometime in the future, you can try and rank it, but you know that you've got tons of benefit anyway. Sometimes if I'm muddled in my head and I'm a bit confused with the topic and I just need to work it out, I'll go away and create a blog post. And I've just solved my own problem and I've given my audience something to read as well. And sometimes that's good enough for me to justify.
And sometimes you get results that you didn't expect. Blogging career, you know, my first two books were about LinkedIn. And so I wrote this blog post, What is a LinkedIn Lion? And then at the time, Jason Alba, who is the premier authority, he wrote, I'm a LinkedIn Now What? He actually linked to my blog post because he was writing a description of what is a LinkedIn Lion. And as Neil Schaefer says, And that one backlink, I think, really gave me a lot of authority at the time. And just, you know, it helped raise the boats of all the others, you know, in the ocean. So yeah, really, really great advice. And totally agree. It is it's an art. You got to think very, very holistically, very, very long term. There's so many things that can happen both internally and externally. And that's why I think it's more important. Either you get that expertise in-house or you tap into the expertise of others, like obviously what your company offers, Neil. So thank you so much for all the advice today. Normally with my guests, I ask them to say, hey, where can we go to learn more about you and your business? You're going to have two different places we can go because obviously you're launching something new. So first you have your SEO agency, which is Bubbly, correct?
Yeah, so that's Bubbly Digital, B-U-B-B-L-I. digital.com. So that's where we do SEO projects and, you know, kind of campaigns. And then the second soon to launch is Writefully, and that's writeful.ly, writeful.ly, Writefully, which is a copywriting on demand subscription or on demand service. So you can go find us there, or my personal blog, yourbrandfound.com, where I try to share some learnings and strategies that we're doing, as well as on my YouTube channel. So yeah, that's where you can find us. So really appreciate these great questions.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And I just want to point out, Writefully, well, by the time this podcast publishes, it will have just launched. And this is an SEO agency that is now going to create bespoke content that, you know, all that SEO expertise is going to be put into that content as well. So you sort of get the best of both worlds. Hopefully all of you will check that out and reach out to Neil as well. And I'll make sure we put these links in the show notes. So Neil, thank you so much. All the best. And I'm sure we'll be in touch in the not so distant future.
Yeah, loved it. Thanks, Neil. Always, I can tell you've got so much experience in the SEO space. Thanks.
I'm always a newbie, always learning, but all right. Thanks again. All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Neil. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and just seeing my own results and those of my clients in terms of organic traffic being generated just from Google versus all of social media combined in a variety of industries, I've really come to this conclusion that what's old is new again, right? And this is all about digital first marketing, and really the website getting organic search is really, I believe, the first part of a modern digital marketing infrastructure that every company should figure out, regardless of your industry. So really psyched to have Neil on. I hope that you appreciated his expert advice. Hey, is there a topic, as your digital marketing coach, is there a topic that you think I should be covering on this podcast that maybe I haven't recently? Are you facing an issue? Maybe you're not looking to hire a consultant or join my community, but you'd like me to cover it on an episode. Feel free to reach out to me, Neil@neilschafer.com, or you can find me on the socials, Neil Schafer. Obviously, come over to neilschafer.com, fill out the contact form as well. I'd really love to hear from you. I really want to make every episode help you grow your bottom line with digital first marketing. Passionate about this mission. Thank you again for listening. Make sure you keep subscribing so you can continue to listen to and absorb all of the expert advice that's going to be coming your way. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye, everybody. Sayonara.
You've been listening to Your Digital Marketing Coach. Questions, comments, requests, links, go to podcast.neilschafer.com. Get the show notes to this and 200 plus podcast episodes at neilschafer.com to tap into the 400 plus blog posts that Neil has published to support your business. While you're there, check out Neil's Digital First Group Coaching Membership Community if you or your business needs a little helping hand. See you next time on Your Digital Marketing Coach.